program you are about to hear, Bob's Slacktime Funhouse, is parody, satire, and comedy. Any reference to Bob, the Church of the Subgenius, religion, politics, or any other touchy subjects is intended only as humor and should cast no reflection on the high standards of WREK Atlanta, its staff, or that of Georgia Tech.
I've got the world on a string, sitting on a rainbow. Got the string around my finger. What a world, what a life, I'm in love. I got a song that I sing, I can make the rain go anytime I move my finger. Lucky me, can't you see I'm in love? Life is a beautiful thing, as long as I hold the string. I'd be a silly so-and-so if I should ever let it go. I got the world on a string, sitting on a rainbow. Got the string around my finger. What a world, what a life, I'm in love.
Hello? What?
Life
Look,
is
I told you no.
Thing.
I'm not doing Bob's Slacktime Funhouse anymore.
As
I've had
long
a gut
as I hold the string.
You better get your ass down to the station.
I'd be a silly so-and-so.
And I'm not there.
If huh? I should ever let it go.
Well, who the hell is this?
Let me
turn the damn music
string,
down.
Sitting on a rainbow.
Friggin' call day and night. Hello? Suicide Prevention Hotline? Oh, that's a rich one. Yeah, sorry, Toots, you're barking up the wrong broad. I spell my name Reverend Susie the Floozy. But, stay on the line. Yeah, I'm willing to roll up my skirt and pitch in to do what I can to help you out anyway. Of course I'm qualified. As a subgenius high priestess, I deal in matters of life and death every day. And mainly living it up and killing brain cells. And besides, I'm bored, and hey, sister, you're definitely on the wrong path. You know, let me put on some more suitable pep talk ambiance here. Where's a prop stick? Oh, okay, now what's your goddamn problem, Toots? I mean, calling those nuts at the suicide prevention hotline? I mean, why'd a nice girl like you want to get talked out of offing herself? What are you, some kind of half-assed crybaby pantywaist just screaming out for a little attention? Or do you really mean business, lady? Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, sweetheart, this is your lucky day. You know why? Because I am the overman you need to talk to right now. Yeah, none of this starry-eyed, optimistic, life's worth living crap for me. No siree, Bob. I'm the Sid Barrett of the Church of the Subgenius. And hey, I've got the best perspective because I've thought it all out myself. Oh, yeah, every day I wake up alive is a crushing disappointment. You've got the right idea here, baby, wanting to shuffle off this moron's coil. Yeah, believe me, life ain't worth the grinding anguish. Boy, in my book, telling somebody to get a life is tantamount to passing a gypsy curse on them. Oh, and your reward for surviving most of the shice clench? Old age, cancer, Alzheimer's, entropy. The Alzheimer's sounds pretty good. Oh, and that's if you're lucky, which sure ain't my strong suit. But, hey, the only lottery I'm itching to win is Shirley Jackson's. Oh, it's taken him too long to start picking up rocks. Meanwhile, all I get is this vacuous rap about how my life is sacred to them. Do you know that life is short for life sentence at hard labor without the possibility of parole? Yeah, we're all dying in prison. And unlike prison, you can't tunnel your way out with a spoon. chest as if you're the captive prize of some godlike bug collector, pierced through the heart, twisting on your pin in an excruciating state of not death, while on all sides of you the other bugs are laughing and partying and carrying on and robustly enjoying their own futile existences, blind to their pins. I mean, who's the delusional sicko here? Oh, yeah, and you keep slogging through the pain and misery, chasing the bright, elusive promise of slack. Oh, but what happens when even that gives out? When the scales fall from your self-deluding eyes and you realize that carrot on the stick has become a dried-out, rotten root, and you can't stand one more minute of this agonizing torment, even for slack? Oh, what about Bob? Oh, yeah, Bob. Pull the wool over your own eyes and relax in the safety of your own delusions. The big, gut-blowing cosmic joke of it all. Yeah, well, I'm tired of waiting around for the punchline anymore. I lost interest a long time ago, and the joke's being told all wrong anyway, and it's sucking all the joy out of it for me. Ooh, yeah. Chuck it all, Farley. Oh, it's a nice idea. Oh, so what were you planning? Oh, no. I wouldn't recommend that. You know what that ampho stuff really is? Poop. Crap. Shinola. Oh, wait, I never did get that right. Oh, yeah, but besides that, martyrdom is just so overdone anymore. Oh, it just doesn't have the impact it used to. And besides, bystanders just complicate things. Yeah, honey, we gotta find you another way. Let's check our alternatives here. Yeah, do you have a copy of Final Exit? No, not Rosie O'Donnell. That's Exit to Eden. Final Exit by Derek Humphreys. Yeah, I've got a signed copy of it somewhere around here. Oh! Damn. Oh, it's gonna take me a while to dig it up. Let me put you on hold. You can listen to some affirming messages on my info music line while I'm at it.
Are you ready? Welcome to the real world.
What in the... Oh, just a kid.
Are you hungry, mister?
Well, now that you mention it, I guess I am. Is your mother upstairs?
She went out for a minute. You want me to find her?
No, don't let's bother.
So much about this life of ours seems really quite absurd. We do so many foolish things in order to be heard. Lose your life to find it.
Let me once again have your mind for a few minutes, because what I'm going to say is a matter of life and death. Most of the human race pretty well divides itself into three groups when it comes to looking at this business called life. The worst of the three is the first one I mentioned. You can say I had absolutely nothing to say or do about my being born. Either I was a biological accident, parents who neither planned for my arrival nor wanted me, or I was one in an assembly line of brothers and sisters without much significance one way or the other, or I'm an orphan, don't even know who my parents were. Regardless of art, you say, all I've seen, or most I've seen of life thus far, isn't worth taking a second look at. The attitude that sours and scowls and damns life. I'm not talking about a handful of people. Some of them have a braggadocious facade on them, and they'll give vent to it like a Dylan Thomas and the infamous so-called poetry. Like the few classicists of our day, in whose life the cruel absence of God cries out for some sort of expression, and they make themselves God. I'm talking about the rebels without a cause, the bicycle chain, switchblade, blackjacking set of young smart alecks whose degeneracy demands an expression in cruelty. Not just the hoodlum, but the college campus equivalent fraternity of hoodlums, who just on one stratum higher are looking at life in the same negative, defiant way. No, I don't go to church. Whose business is
it? Touché.
Finger of fate, don't mess with life and love. You'll find it's all prearranged, it's written up above, and not a word can be changed. That moving finger, friend, of which the poets all sing, is the fickle finger of fate. Life is a dirty book that should be censored, my friend. Don't try to steal a look to find out how it will end. The end is clear, my friend. We're puppets tied to a string on the fickle finger of fate.
Okay, is anyone here not a downer? Anyone?
I got the world on a string, sitting on a rainbow. Got the string around my finger. What a world, what a life, I'm in love.
Yeah, I didn't find Final Exit, but I found a copy of Answer Me from its golden days. Yeah, Suicide Feature in issue number 3 is a great template for how not to do it. Ooh, I got some screw-ups in here. Yeah, like those Judas Priest idiots. Oh, yeah, the old Hemingway technique. Yeah, firearms are definitely out. You know, bullets can ricochet off your teeth. You know, I mean, if you're not an expert, and just a gnat's butt here to the left, and You'll survive and spend your days sucking dinner through a tube and probably voting Republican. Nah, that's too big a risk for even me to take. Oh, hey, look, on page 94, there's a woman who threw herself into a lens grinder. Oh, no, I wouldn't recommend it. Not unless you want to make a spectacle of yourself. It's a joke. Well, hey, what do you expect? Major yawks? I mean, it's gallows humor. Oh, speaking of the gallows, I wonder how much cheap wine it takes to kill a man. Damn, wouldn't you know? Oh, this thing doesn't have an index. Oh, an overdose? Oh, yeah, real cinematic and oh so picturesque to be sure, but even that can go hideously wrong. Oh, I can recite the sad story of Lupe Velez from memory. Lupe Velez, a Mexican spitfire. Yeah, she was a big B-movie starlet of the 30s. She was married to Johnny Weissmuller for a bit. You know, his makeup man used to bitch about having to cover up all the scratches and hickeys she used to leave all over him. Oh, yeah, Lupe was one hot to trot wild-ass jazz baby. And after she divorced Tarzan, she lived the high life too much, quickly spiraling into debt and debauchery. But you know, I figure, hey, one out of two ain't bad. Oh, but then things turned really sour for her. She got knocked up by some 90-day wonder leading man, and when he refused to marry her, she somehow suddenly got real moral and couldn't face a scandal of having a bastard love child. I mean, hey, those are the best kind. Well, anyhow, Lupe decided to check out in style, and she made her plans well in advance. I really admire her technique here. I mean, she just finished another film for a rock-bottom salary that was already gone. Her career was on the skids, but she had this premiere coming up. What a golden opportunity to snag the final spotlight, huh? And that night, she rented a fabulous white satin gown and had her mansion filled with flowers, all on credit. Oh, yeah, nice touch. Oh, and then she went out to face the news cameras, determined to make what would be her last photo stunning ones. Anyhow, she came home afterwards and sat down to a lavish late-night Mexican banquet with her beloved servants. And then she bid them all farewell and went upstairs to her room. And she gulped down a couple bottles of Seconal. Ah, Schwab's, the pharmacy of the stars. And then she arranged herself on the bed just so. Oh, yeah, I know. It sounds like the perfect setup. Oh, I'm sure Lupe thought it was. But when the Seconal hit the Mexican food, an international incident started to explode in her guts. And not wanting to spoil her perfect death scene, Lupe ran to her bathroom. But on the way, she unfortunately slipped at her own puke and slammed herself face first into her toilet and drowned. An Egyptian onyx hush flush model deluxe, but that's beside the point. I mean, a toilet's a toilet. I don't care if the fixtures are expensive. I just hate to be found ass up with my head down the loo. I mean, even I have my standards of good taste. Oh, toilets taste something awful. No, don't ask me how I know. I read it somewhere. A total badass bummer. Yeah, the only thing that's holding me back is that every plan, no matter how well thought out, is never totally bimbo-proof. Dang, I'll probably never find a perfect setup. Oops, that's my call waiting here. Oh, let me put you on hold again. I'll be right back.
It's the first time that we've been away since our honeymoon. Are you certain that we're doing the right thing?
Trust me. If I didn't think it was right, would I suggest a double suicide?
Of course not. We should have done this years ago.
My fault. I've been so busy.
I worry. This is the first time that we've ever left the children alone.
Sooner or later, they'll have to face life without us. In this case, sooner.
They're so innocent. So young.
True. Eva's only 20 and little Adolf is only 15.
Exactly. I feel uneasy about the way you locked them into their own room.
We must be firm. They're too big to sleep together any longer.
Oh, I know, but my little Adolf. And how is he going to feed himself if he's locked in?
Just like usual. Eva will break down the doors, carry him downstairs, strap him to his high chair, and force feed him, just like you do.
It's different. I'm his mother.
I just hope I'm his father.
So do I.
You see, your chances aren't too hot, are they? Well, now, that depends. That depends on the kind of adjustments that you learn to make and that you teach your children to make. We're not born with our adjustments. We learn them. Here, let me give you a case. Here's a case of a woman whom you all know. I'll give you her name. This woman was in love, deeply in love. But her sweetheart jilted her. So she committed suicide. Her name? Lupi Velez. Remember? Carol Landis. Remember? Lupi Velez and Carol Landis were two movie stars who had fame, fortune, youth, beauty, things that a woman would give half a life to have. Yet when they lost their sweethearts, Lupi left a note. Dear Harold, there's nothing left for me anymore, so goodbye to you. I wish he had phoned me first. I'd have given her some good ideas.
Plastic bag put over your head. Waves of legs down your throat.
Now, I don't have to go back as far as Lupi Velez or Carol Landis. For those whose memories it doesn't jog, I'll go back just a few months to Brigitte Bardot, who also attempted suicide. Did you know that Brigitte Bardot and Lupi Velez and Carol Landis were all insane when they committed suicide or attempted suicide? Only the insane choose to die. A sane person wants to live. I am not speaking of those who commit suicide regularly. Now, of course, not every woman who loses a sweetheart kills herself. One woman says, why should I kill myself? I'll shoot him. And so she commits murder as a form of adjustment. Which, by the way, adjusts him pretty permanently, too.
Silver daggers in your throat. Baseball bat in your face.
Some things you do whether you like them or not. Whether you're in the mood for them, whether you agree with it. You do certain things, for instance, out of courtesy, sense, if not devotion.
How do we know that?
This undisciplined generation of ours, of which I am a child, has one group that looks at life and anybody who tries to improve the slightest dab of it with a defiant scowl. Now, that attitude taken to its extreme is issued into suicide. Since I've looked it over, and it isn't worth it, it's a sorry show, stop the world. I want to get off.
Hear, hear.
That's what James B. Forrestal said before he plunged out of the hospital window. He had been reading that old cynical classical line of Greek philosophical mythology just before he leaped to his death.
Relax, Mr. Angry Slack.
I'm gonna kill myself.
Hello? Let me have the office. The suicide commander is ahead of super service.
I'll say it, though.
Well, come right up to 611. Man of 611 committing suicide. Let's find out how much he owes us. Oh. In here. Oh. Where is he? Oh, there's no suicide. Hold the window. He checked out.
So they're checking out of windows now.
There goes $100. You know, there's too many windows in this hotel. Who's that?
How should I know? I'm in here.
Come in. Who are you?
Go on, here. Super service spot. Three times I jumped out of that window and still I'm here.
Now I'm gone. Wait a moment.
Wait a minute.
Wait a minute. I told you I wasn't lying. You didn't check out, did you?
No, I like quit suicide.
Oh, I'll get something. Hello. Poison squad. Emergency in 611.
Now look, isn't this pretty? No, that makes too much noise.
Can't stand noise?
No.
Well, put a little cotton in your ears.
Oh.
Well, just the thing for you. We'll fix you a little dash of ketchup.
A little dash of ketchup.
A little dash of mayonnaise.
A little dash of mayonnaise. Say, how about an egg with that?
An egg? Two eggs.
Oh, that's right.
Well, of course, this is your drink. How about a little boracic acid with a dash of lemon? You'll remember this drink.
I guess you're right.
Fire in your eyes, fire in your eyes.
with all margin being allowed for the fact the man may have been emotionally sick from long service, that wasn't the case of the 21-year-old girl in my town recently, whom I found on the second floor with her mother, having taken freezer tape and sealed all the edges, the windows and the doors, and pulled the mattress off of the bed and put it right across the hearth in front of the fireplace where there was a gas burner, and pulled the gas hose loose and stuck it in her mouth. Scribble lines and poor grammar and unspelled words.
What?
Unspelled words, yes. It says, damn life. Damn you who read this. Damn the undertaker who'll try to change this blue corpse with powder and rouge. Damn whatever god there may be who supposedly made son James.
My suicide child. My suicide child. Across the mile, on the dirty, filthy bathroom tile, you walked on by. I was so high. My suicide child, why'd you die? You let me down. My suicide child, you stole my junk, you low-down punk. Down, 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 you set your wrist, you stupid bitch. My suicide child, my suicide child. Suicide child. Suicide child. You went away. Back to LA. You couldn't cope. You stole my dope. My suicide child. You let me down, 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 down. You set your wrist, you stupid bitch. My suicide child, my suicide child. You stole my junk, you low down punk. Down, 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 down. You set your wrist, you stupid bitch. My suicide child, my suicide child. Suicide child. My suicide child. Across the mile, on the dirty, filthy bathroom towel, walked on by. Head in the sky. My suicide child. Why'd you die? You let me down.
Down. Down. Down. Down. Down. Down. Slit your wrist, you stupid bitch. My suicide child. My suicide child. You stole my junk. Low down punk.
your wrist, you stupid bitch. My suicide child, my suicide child.
Jane before that, though. Jane, at a young age, was used properly. She had been handled by many hands who caressed her but did not love her.
There's something about used merchandise. You hear me? Something about used merchandise that is always marked down in value and never quite retains the perfection that it once had. They put used merchandise on the bargain basement counters for that one reason. It's used. It's soiled. It's dirty. God intended for you to look at a girl like she was just a conquest to make, like she was just a piece of cheap goods in the backseat of an automobile or a cheap motel room somewhere. God said for you to look at the girls with one thought in your mind, to get your hands upon her. This is what the word of Almighty God says.
Right on! Right on!
Now those, in my opinion, should be of three kinds. Number one, they should be big. And the reason they should be big is quite simple. There's nothing exciting about mediocrity. And it takes excitement in today's market to get the big job done. It takes a goal that's so big that you literally have to set yourself on fire. Then the world gathers around and watches you burn as you go for the big goal.
What?
Approximately 38,000 people every year in America alone commit suicide. But the records show that for everyone who succeeds in it, there must be five for everyone who succeeds, five who attempts. By the way, three times as many men take their own lives as women. But five times as many women attempt suicide but use methods that are not fatal as men. Some don't have the intestinal fortitude or the sheer courage to kill themselves, so they do something worse. They consign their life to functional suicide, that is, kill it a little bit at a time. No arsenic, no pistol to blow the brains out, just functional suicide, that is, killing yourself a little bit at a time, like polysurgery. Cut everything out of you, off of you, as you grow older. Like purposeful accidents. The hot rod that scratches off and couldn't tell you for the life of you why plunge somebody into death around the curve. Sometimes that's purposeful. Just wanting to get you. Sounds crazy. Oh, there are many ways to die each day that you live. That's one attitude. That sours and scowls and says, it isn't worth the effort. Oh, I'm round, I'm breathing. I was made to come to college and so on, but my soul elected to sign off.
Please kill me.
Disgust even me.
Yes, I see those scratches on the inside of your arms you tried to make like Sid Vicious with a broken light bulb. After all, you were only a bored teenager, and what did you have to look forward to except being a bored 20-year-old, and then a bored 30-year-old? And not only would you be bored, but you'd be old and bored. So why not end it all? You never quite did it, though, but you kept trying, and the weird thing about it is that you deserve to die. And you think the boat people are bad off? Man, they want to live.
We're all boat people, we're all boat people.
People, 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 people,
fact, you know why? You know why? You know why people are not listening? People are not listening because they've got problems. That's right, people got problems. You know that? You know what a lot of people's problems are? A lot of people's problems are they think they're the only ones that got a problem. If a lot of people knew that everybody else had a problem, or they had a worse problem, they'd be like, whoa, I'm so happy. Listen, if you are here tonight, and I'm sure a couple of you think you're the only one who got a problem, I got news for you. You're not the only one who got a problem. You have a problem, Bill has a problem, I got a problem, and guess what? We all got problems. And you know what else? They're going to get worse. How about that? This is one of the things that really drives a lot of people crazy, really. You know how many people are spending their life trying to get rid of the problem, solving the problem? That's nonsense. I'm not wasting 5 minutes trying to get rid of my problems. You know why? I've been learning. I better hang on to the ones I got. I know what's coming next.
Colby Joker costomy.
Gastroenterostomy.
Double barrel colostomy.
What the hell's it costing me? Oligodendroglioma.
Dermoid and a teratoma.
Also a rhinoblastoma.
Woo! I'm so happy.
1, 2, 3.
And everything's happy.
I'm starting to realize life is short.
It is?
We have to make the most of the time we have.
We do?
Otherwise, we could wake up one day and realize we've wasted our whole lives.
Oh, that.
Anthony, that's what you're really afraid of? Is your own death.
What? Nobody's afraid of death. That's crazy.
Doesn't it scare you? The thought of missing all your family's special moments.
No.
Never again sipping wine with your friends. Scratching your cat or cats.
No.
Making love to your partner.
No, no, no.
Only when you deal with your fear of death will you be able to overcome your fear of...
This is depressing.
Oh, I'm nuts.
Want to go play in the cemetery?
Okay.
I am not going to die. Chromium picolonate. Every orifice, every day.
You need to relax and enjoy life.
Man, I tell you what, about anything old meaning of life, man, it's like this, man. It's like a butterfly flapping his wings deep down in the forest, man. It's going to cause a tree fall like 5,000 miles away, man. And ain't nobody see it. Nobody don't even happen. You know, if the baby's born into this world, and they don't got any friends, got no, nothing but to go come in and find out all about them, all the evil, man. Man, see, like, you don't even know, man. When you gonna, it's like you're born into this world, man. And you got, like, just like this, man, the dust in the wind, man. Or like a dang old candle in the wind, man. It don't matter, man. It's on the old oldies, old town. You know what I think, man? Like them dang old, I think, therefore you are, man.
Well, that's what we tell ourselves, isn't it, Boomhauer?
Something he said once before they took him away to the Massachusetts State Home for the Bewildered. He said, life is like a sewer. What you get out of it depends on what you put into it. It's always seemed to me that this is precisely the sort of dynamic, positive thinking that we so desperately need today in these trying times of crisis and universal brouhaha. And so with this in mind...
Ah, that was another wrong number. Someone looking for the poison control center. I told them Clorox was an antidote for Drano. Ain't I a little devil? Yeah, but even with little bursts of pleasure like that one, it just doesn't last. Everything is still so hollow and dead. No Bob. Not that I was ever fooled by the church's PR, but still, I thought he'd show up eventually. But now I'm so wrung out from my miserable subsistence as a slut in waiting, I just can't hold out for the promise of X Day, you know? I ain't just got no more of that old joie de fever, no matter how hard I try. Feel this aching loneliness all the time, especially when I'm around friends. It just eats right through my guts. Oh, right. Your problem, you little leech. Yes, let's get back to you. Oh, my, it's my call waiting again. It was, too. Well, sometimes you can hear it on your end, and sometimes you can't. I'll be right back.
As far as I can tell, life sucks, life sucks, life sucks, life sucks, then it dies.
Record number 7 is called It's Easier to Win. This record goes fully into the subject of conformity. It explains the dangers of just going along with the crowd, since statistics point out that fully 95% of the people miss the boat in life. It explains why we conform, why it's a perfectly natural thing, but also why we should examine carefully the group which we've been emulating. It points out the enormous advantages to ourselves and our families if we will only switch our emulation from the 95% group to the 5% group. In short,
conform, I really must conform. With regret I should read myself with cause me alarm.
The pink life is a new way. It's how you see a thing that comes with rose tinted glasses. There's no problem that you can't surmount. The pink life is the true way. You'll groove with everything you see, with lots of just pink thoughts. There's no limit to what you can be. Come on, wave your worries on. Thinking pink will make everything right. You'll fly, reach a brand new high. No more a blind, just a new pink bride. Pink is out of sight, pink is out of sight.
Call 1-800-GET-PINK.
So, pal, don't push your luck. Don't put your future in hock. It wouldn't ring a buck. It's all a rose-colored crock.
Woo! I'm so happy!
Written on their faces. No escape, no way out. Trapped in a cycle.
are they happy? I don't know. Pockets are empty, there's nothing to show. Living, just living. I got a miss, I'm trapped on a mess. I'm tired, you need something. Is that all there is? Is that all there is? Not much hope for any future. No desire to recall the past. Lower standards of education. Hard to think when your stomach's empty. No creation, no conscience, no caution. Another one, look what you've done. Soon another mouth to feed. Babies for income, you can't do me that. Living, just living. I got a miss, I'm trapped on a mess. I'm tired to be something. Is that all there is? Is that all there is? Frustration, there's a war zone inside the station. Young man stands accused, tweet vibe, nothing new. Filled with anger, filled with hatred, the situation understated. Living, just living. I got a miss, I'm trapped on a map. I'm tired to be something. Is that all there is? Is that all there is?
Today, we hear and read a good deal about the uniqueness of the individual. We speak of individual differences. And it's true. When you think about the characteristics of any one person, he is different from others. His personality, manner of speaking, tastes, mannerisms. On the other hand, all of us have at least this much in common. We're all on a quest for happiness, for peace of mind. We work hard to choose friends, to get an education, to prepare for a career. We arrange circumstances and we buy things in order to make life as happy and peaceful and comfortable and contented and secure as possible. And yet, in spite of all our efforts, conflicts and disagreements do develop, don't they? Financial arrangements don't turn out as planned, circumstances change, family life has its tensions, and these unexpected, unplanned twists and turns of life tend to frustrate the objective of a happy, stable, peaceful, contented life. This goal seems so elusive, and instead, we find ourselves feeling unhappy and tense, anxious, uneasy, worried. Why is the pursuit of happiness and serenity so elusive? Well, there is an answer, and I'd like to propose one to you out of the Bible.
The Bible? Let's get out of here! Hey!
Life is out of tune when you're all alone inside. Out of tune. You can wear a mask, a most convincing mask. People see is that self-satisfied look on your face, a most convincing mask. Then comes the time when you're by yourself, far from the crowd and that mask, and you start to hear the rhythm of reality. It's pounding in your mind and you know you're not in time. You're out of rhythm, out of step, out of tune. Questions, too many doubts, too much hatred, too many fears. So you run back to the crowd, and that mask, that most convincing mask, so convincing you've even fooled yourself. Escape is temporary.
Ah! I'm still recovering from 1 o'clock.
You know, people's minds become affected. They can no longer take the stresses. Every day you hear about another calamity on television. You just cannot. You cannot cry anymore. You see these people in flood-stricken areas, earthquakes. Your heart wants to burst. You want to help, but you just cannot help everybody.
Relax, Mr. Angry Slack.
The best. To a high bridge one time, and he wanted to jump off there and commit suicide. And a policeman came to him and tapped him on his shoulder and said, listen here, don't do that, man. Let's walk around the block and let's talk about our problems. So they walked around the block and they talked about their problems, and they come up on the high bridge, and then they both jumped off of the bridge. So we're living in a real crazy world, my friend.
Can you believe this guy? He tells a joke at a funeral.
Highly inappropriate.
Yeah, but it was funny.
I walk along the street of sorrow, a boulevard of broken dreams, where gigolo and gigolette can take a kiss without regret, so they forget the broken dreams. Cry tomorrow when you behold your shattered schemes. And gigolo and gigolette wake up to find their eyes are wet with tears that tell of broken dreams.
He said the tragedy comes in the fact that most men go to their grave with their music still in them.
Okay.
Oh, hey, I'm back. Oh, you really bummed out? Good, I've done my job. Thanks for the warm feeling, Toots. Ooh, but I can't exactly say I did it all alone. I'm sure that helpline of mine gave you a lot of good input. Oh, what is on there anyway? Oh, hey, some of the records are still around. Ah, what do I got here? Oh, let's see. Ah, in no particular order. Oh, Jonathan and Darlene Edwards of Boulevard of Broken Dreams. Oh, that's a good one. Oh, and the Armageddon Experience with Life is Out of Tune. Oh, Dr. Murray Banks, that psychological comedy guy. He was a hanger-on of Jane Mansfield, you know. He was along with her at some wild animal safari when her son Zoltan got mauled by a lion. Ah, fame is so fleeting. Oh, let's Let's see, we had Living in Today's World of Dr. Henry Brandt. Mr. Tremendous. Woo! Oh, yeah, Charles Jones. What a freaking nut. Oh, Happy Fingers Institute with Nightmares. Ooh, yeah, they know what it's about. Oh, Zig Ziglar's Biscuits, Fleas, and Pump Handles. Message to Management. Alternative to Conformity by Roy McClain. His alternative is conformity. Oh, and yo, yeah. Conform. That was from Till It Like It Is, a folk musical about Jesus. Oh, and Johnny Galtner, some Phonopop Scene with the Pink Life. Oh, An Evening Wasted with Tom Lehrer. Little Frankie Knuckles with Welcome to the Real World. Oh, yeah. The Nuns were in there. They did Suicide Child. Peter Barkhuizen was a guy telling pointless jokes at the funeral, but oh, didn't he give a good lead into Boomhauer's philosophy of life? That's easy for him to say. And then the Circle Jerks were in there with Living. Oh, Norman Bates and the Showerheads urged us to give it up. Frank Sinatra had the world on a string. Screeching Weasel had cancer in their body. The Polystyrene Jazz Band, they recommended a little Drano in your veins. And Boris Karloff was there in the mix somewhere. And, yeah, well, hell, whatever was in there, Bob only knows. I just hope it helps you come up with the right method of your own that'll work for you, honey. I want to look at it this way. By checking out before the blighted pink holiday season, you're gonna miss all those tedious re-showings of It's a Wonderful Life. yeah, that damn movie's cost me a few picture tubes in its time. Cinder blocks, bowling balls, house pets, whatever's handy. Oh, man, I seriously hate that movie, The Blood Grudge. And, I mean, what sappy claptrap. You ever start to think that if Jimmy Stewart had offed himself right then, everyone would actually have been pretty well off? Yeah, and at any rate, old man Potter cleaned up like a good capitalistic bandit. Art imitating life. And life sucks. Ooh, hey, by the way, what is your name anyway? Juicy Lucy? Oh, Susie the Floozy. Funny, sounds a lot like my name. Well, thanks for calling, Susie. And I'll be looking for you in the obituary pages. Aww, I put the bitch in obituary. Thank you. Oh, but I gotta run now. As long as I'm around, there are a lot of people out there in dire need of crushing disappointment. I can only spread myself just so thin. So bye now. Oh, and by the way, this call has been $6.99 a minute. Good night. Loser.
Ain't life a bitch? Ain't life a bitch? Ain't life a bitch? Oh, yeah. Ain't life a bitch? Ain't life a bitch? What a world. Man, this is a lie. Hey, now.
Maybe that's because it does feel so good to be alive.
No, that's not it.
Oh, God.
Well, then let the story ride. It'll be forgotten in the morning. Oh, you remember the awful things they put about that what's-her-name before she jumped out the window? There, you see, I can't even remember her name, so who cares?